Hello, and welcome to episode 7 of the No Credit Needed podcast. I'm glad that you've downloaded this episode, and I hope you've subscribed to it with iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. And I'm glad to know that you're listening to what we're doing here. Just a quick update on a few things, and we'll get rolling. If you have not taken the opportunity to check out the blog lately, there's a lot of things going on at ncnblog.com. And our new network is up, ncnnetwork.com. Really excited about it. We've got 6 members now. And here's what we do there. We take the goal that you may have if you're a blogger or just an individual with a financial goal, like a debt repayment goal or a savings goal. And we make a chart for you. You email me your information. There's a little sign-up link there at the top right-hand side. And you email me your information. And then I put your information out there in the form of a chart, just a simple pie chart. And also I make a table that goes with a post that lists your name. And so you have not only the chart, but you also have the table, which will tell everyone your stats, your website. It'll link to your, if you click on the chart, it'll link straight to your website. And the purpose is to just kind of come together and support one another, encourage one another, cheer one another on. And so as we get the network bigger, I'm sure there'll be more comments and more back and forth and that kind of good stuff. Right now, there are 5 members of the network. And I'm going to do this podcast a little bit different. I'm going to call this The Rambler. That'll be the title in my head for this one. I just want to kind of ramble a little bit today and just talk about a lot of things that are going on in the personal finance world, the podcasting world, and just all kind of cool things that I don't know. I just thought it might be cool to just kind of, you know, not really have so much of a format this week and just talk about a few things. But if you go to the No Credit Needed Network, which is at NCN for No Credit Needed, and then network.com, you can check that out. I bought the domain, and I think it would be cool if you're looking to start a website and you were wanting to learn how to buy a domain or whatever. It's really, really easy. And if you have any questions about any of that kind of stuff, you can hit me up with an email at ncnblog@gmail.com. And, you know, I'll be glad, more than glad, to just kind of walk you through. Also, if you're thinking about starting up a podcast and you'd like some help, I can help you a little bit. I can help you just enough to kind of get it up and running. I don't know the ins and outs. And there's a lot better podcasts than mine out there as far as the quality of the background music and the intros and all that. I do kind of a sparse, it kind of goes along with the frugal idea of life to kind of have this sparse, you know, podcast or whatever. But anyway, I wanted to give you the URLs to the members of the network, and just in case you wanted to check them out. And I wanted to read each one of those URLs out, but that would just take forever. But I will list the members that we have. There's LP Kitten from Defying Debt. There's Funky Bunches Corner. There's The Debt Hater. We also have Map Girl and The Miserly Mistress. Some interesting names there. But if you go to ncnnetwork.com, on the right-hand side are the charts and the posts. And I'm just doing a lot. I mean, it's in the stage of infancy now. I mean, we're just beginning. But I think in a year, I mean, my goal in a year would be to have, you know, 200 charts up there and a lot of people back and forth with the comments and stuff. So, you know, I really want you to encourage one another if you do use the network, and just check out the blog. But, hey, enough about those things. I had a very interesting occurrence this past few weeks, few days ago. Scott, who does an awesome job with the Money Blogger podcast, and you can find that at moneybloggerpodcast.blogspot.com, links and all that kind of stuff on my homepage. But Scott interviewed me for his podcast, and I think I mean, the podcast sounds awesome. I sound like a blubbering goober. I mean, it's just, listening to myself. I mean, I know that I do this, and I should be used to hearing my own voice, but it's just it was really cool. Scott seems to be a very intelligent guy, and seems to really know what he's doing. He's got post-production and everything on his podcast. I was actually pretty jealous. We talked before he did the interview, and that was really cool because he asked me about my family, and I asked about his and those kind of things. And it was kind of cool to just kind of, hook up with the person who's doing kind of the same thing I'm doing, but just from a different kind of angle. Scott interviews various personal finance bloggers, and then he writes about them. I think Scott's really getting interested in the actual blogging, kind of like the reasons for blogging, as much as he is about the financial part, and that's kind of cool to see. But you can check that out, like I said, at moneybloggerpodcast.blogspot.com. There's a link to it at the ncnblog.com site that I, my main blog. It's episode 7 is the episode that I'm in. That I'm on, and a lot of different things that came from that, a lot of links that came from that, and a lot of traffic on the site. So I hope, and if you're joining me because of that, I really do thank you for doing that. Just wanted to talk to you a little bit also about a few kind of things that I've noticed in the PF blog community, some things that I think are going on with the personal finances and blogs and that kind of stuff. There seems to be a lot of repetitiveness, for lack of a better term, of seeing and reading the same thing over and over and over. And I think what's happening is a lot of the folks that are just getting into it are spending a lot of their time clicking around some of the older blogs and the older sites, and are just kind of cutting and pasting and linking. And that's cool. I mean, I link and I cut and I paste and I do that kind of stuff too. But I think one of the things that you want to do when you have a blog or a podcast or anything is you kind of want to bring your own flavor to it. You want to bring your own, I mean, you want to feel your soul, you want that person to reveal a little bit of themselves. If it's supposed to be personal finance, then it needs to be personal. Now, on the other hand, if you're going simply for information, there's nothing wrong with that either. Don't get me wrong. I mean, one of my, and I mention it here every week, it seems to, but bankdeals.blogspot.com, just one of my most, just, it's one of the best sites out there because it's just fact. I mean, it's just, hey, here's the facts. Here are the best deals, But if you're going for that kind of, personal finance kind of thing, oh, let me share what I know kind of stuff, or let me, start a discussion or whatever, just a word of, it's not really a word of criticism, it's just more of a word of encouragement. Do your own thing, man, find your own niche or whatever, Don't just copy everybody else. It's been done, and, I don't know. It just kind of gets old clicking through the same stuff over and over and over. And, I might get some heat for this because, I do link, and I think we all link to each other, and we should. Now, there's nothing wrong with saying, hey, check this out. This is awesome. But, throw me a bone, dude. Once in a while, write something that you just came up with, something that just blows you away that you're like, I got to share this, man. This helped me. This really... is my thing or whatever. I don't know. The same is true in podcasting. I mean, it's the same thing in television with newspapers. If it's been done, don't just keep, beating a dead horse, Find something that's your groove and rock there for everybody. I mean, I love Dave Ramsey, and he's cool. And I mean, if I could be the next Dave Ramsey, that would be awesome. But if I just did Dave's stick, it would get old. And I love some of the sites that are out there, but you don't want to just keep talking and talking and talking and talking and talking about the same thing that everybody else is talking about. One of the best things, and this is what we need to remember, one of the best things about being a financially responsible individual and human being is that it sets you apart from the crowd. you're different, and you ought not shrink back from being different. You know I'm different because I don't use credit cards. I know that I'm different because I balance my checkbook to the penny. I know that I'm strange because, you know, I know the best credit card deal or the best bank deal or the best, you know, hotel bill or, you know, hotel deal or whatever, because I know the best websites to find and I know the stuff that, you know, that's cool. That's what makes this good. That's what makes this a good kind of thing to do. And so, I mean, you know, if you're reading a blog or doing something like that and you think, hey, I need to do that, cool, man, join us. But don't just do what we do. Do your own thing. I mean, you know, I found Neville's blog. It's at nevblog.com, and he's this guy that does this, you know, and everybody knows about him, Neville's financial blog. But I could never do his shtick, you know. I couldn't. He has this kind of sarcastic slash enthusiastic slash entrepreneurial streak that I could just, you know, there's no way I could imitate that, you know. Even though I thought it was one of the coolest sites ever, there's no way I could go and try to be that guy, you know. And so when you're doing your thing, do your thing, man. I mean, do your thing. And when it comes to that, I've really been thinking a lot about getting out of debt and how I haven't really had a goal afterwards. I blogged about this a few days ago. And, you know, it was really easy when I had, I mean, imagine a dartboard and you see that bullseye that's in there in the middle of it. And when I first started doing this, paying off my debt, it was like, boom, there is the bullseye. Shoot for that goal. You know, go for that target. And so pretty much my entire financial life or whatever revolved around getting out of debt. And so every financial decision was, how can I pay this debt off the fastest? The problem after that, and it's a good problem to have, is that I lost my focus and I tried to do way too many things at one time. I tried to, you know, do a little bit of retirement here and a little bit of savings here. And maybe I should buy a CD here. And maybe I should buy, you know, I-bonds here. And maybe I should try to buy some stock here. And the problem with that was my budget just blew up in my face. I mean, it just went pow! I mean, there's where I need some cool sound effects. It just was gone, man. And the reason was, there was no focus. So what my focus is now, what my goal is now, is $20,000 in the bank. I'd like to have $20,000 in cash. Now, we do two retirement accounts. My wife has a retirement account through her work, which is a pension. And it's not really an option. It's they take out 5% of her salary. I also have a 403B. To which I contribute roughly 5% of my salary pre-tax. And so those things really don't enter in. I mean, the entire time I've been doing my budget and getting out of debt, I really didn't figure that money in. That money's kind of money that I don't touch. It just, you know, I can't touch some of it, but I don't touch the other. So I'm not going to try to do Roth. I'm not going to try to do my ESAs. I'm not going to try to do anything until I have a good, solid cash cushion. And I know this, you know, the time value of money thing and interest rates and all that kind of stuff. And I understand where people are coming with that, but I've got three or four major purchases that I'll need to make in the next couple of years, and I don't want to have to borrow to do that. And if I put all my money in retirement right now, if I go ahead and do my Roths right now, without that big, huge chunk of money, I'm going to have to borrow money to pay for those things, and I don't want to do that. Now, my goal is to have that much money saved, $20,000, by 10/10/06. So you're looking at less than, or right around, let's see, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October. 8 months? Yeah, eight months, eight paychecks, let's put it that way, a piece. So 16 paychecks. Now we bring home roughly $5,000 a month. So you're looking at about $2,500 a month. About half our take home, or maybe not quite half. Certainly more than a third. And that's going to be some deep stuff for us. But I'm committed to it. I'm excited about it. And what's going to be great about it is I'll be paying that money to myself and not to some silly credit card for, you know, hamburgers that I bought the guys back 12 years ago. And so that's cool. Okay, now kind of keeping up with the theme of being all over the place. My stock, I did buy one stock. I'm excited about it. I bought Clorox. I have no idea where it's going to go or what it's going to do. So I would encourage you all to look at Clorox, see what you think about it. I plan on holding it for the next 12 years. That's when my little girl starts college. It's in her ESA. I've reinvested its dividend. It gets a pretty decent dividend, so whatever that means. So I'm really excited about what that might do. That was kind of a unique experience to open a ESA and to fund it and to do all that kind of good stuff. So I think I put like $400 in it. I just had some money that was a unforeseen financial windfall, and so I used that for, you know, to buy those stocks. So that's kind of cool. There are tons of ways that you can save some money, especially if you live in a rural area. And one of those ways is to have your own garden, to do your own gardening. So I think we're actually going to plan to have a little side garden this year and try to grow some vegetables and stuff. We've been eating healthier, and hopefully we're going to grow some stuff that we can use for, you know, our garden and for our health, and we would feel better and that kind of stuff. Plus, you know, get some exercise out there in the sun, and we're just going to see how that works out. It might be more expensive than it's worth, but I think it'll be fun to just try and to just check it out and see how things go that way. One last little thing I want to talk to you about. One of my favorite features here, the favorite feature, is mistakes that I made with money. I guess I've kind of shared some of the major stuff with you. Just one of the things that, I mean, this is not really a mistake with money, but it's kind of a mistake that I make a lot with not knowing, you know, how to direct my energies. And I think a lot of us, we don't have a target. We don't have a goal. We don't have, you know, that focus, that laser-like intensity. And I think a lot of us make the mistake of just kind of limping along, not really knowing where our money's going, not really knowing what we're doing with our money. And I guess, you know, this isn't really a specific mistake, but just a general mistake that I've made with money hundreds of times is just kind of letting my money boss me around, you know, and not really putting it to good use, not putting it where it needs to go, not saving it, not investing it, not really focusing on what I was doing. I mean, if you give me $20 and I don't have a plan for it, I won't have $20 at the end of the day because I'm going to find some way to spend that money. And part of the intensity and the focus of being a frugal person and getting out of debt and saving money is that you know, it's not just that you don't want to spend the $20. You want to see how you can make the $20 become, you know, $40. And that's kind of a focal point of my life right now. It's not just how can I not spend, but what can I do so that in 10 years I've got, you know, this big, huge hunk of money that I can do some stuff with and I can enjoy for the rest of my life. Behind the scenes, with the interview that's over at moneybloggerpodcast.blogspot.com with Scott from that podcast, dude, it was awesome. I really, really enjoyed it. It was cool. He has an awesome setup. He's got some professional kind of equipment, and he does a really, really good job. And I just want to say thanks for letting me be a part of it. Just for you guys that are new maybe to podcasting, I don't know, you know, how many of you guys are maybe you found this and you were into blogging or you read the blog and then you were like, hey, what's this, you know, what's this new stuff podcasting? And maybe this is the first time you've listened, but if you're like me, you kind of feel like you know the person, you know, that's talking to you. You feel like if you met them that you would be their buddy or whatever. I mean, just a shout out or whatever. I mean, like the kids say, But Lance Anderson runs the Verge of the Fringe podcast, and I mean, Lance is big time now. Lance was just over in England, and he spoke at Cambridge University. I mean, this guy's. I mean, he's just, you know, I mean, when it comes to podcasting, if you know anything about it, The Verge of the Fringe or Verge of the Fringe is just, it's, you know, it's up there. I mean, the two podcasts that I listen to, I mean, every, like as soon as they come out, I listen to The Bitterest Pill with Dan Klass and I listen to Verge of the Fringe with Lance Anderson. And I'm going to listen to those two. And the coolest thing was when I started to do this show, I sent Lance an email. And I had emailed him, I don't know, several months back about a topic that he was talking about and stuff. And it was actually a topic on which we disagreed. It was about the war and some other stuff, politics and kind of stuff. And, dude, he emailed me back. I mean, he communicated with me and he helped me and he gave me some advice. And the coolest thing was the other day, Lance had this thing called the Lance Anderson podcast experiment. And it was over in England, and I haven't had a chance. I don't know how it went off. But he did a podcast from Cambridge. And I emailed him literally like the next day. You know, and he doesn't know me from Adam. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we've never met or anything. We've just emailed a few times, and he's helped me. You know, he's emailed me. And that day, I mean, like, you know, he sent me a response and, you know, he's like, thanks for the email. I'll talk to you more when I get back and all this kind of stuff. Dude, that's cool. I mean, I don't care what anybody says. I mean, that's cool. And, it, you know, you want to talk about inspirations or people that you think, oh, this guy's really, really awesome. That was just cool. I mean, there's a guy, you know, he could have big-timed me. You know, he could have said, hey, little, you know, dude, you got 100 listeners. I've got, you know, 10,000 or whatever he's got. You know, I'm at Cambridge University and you're in your laundry room recording, you know, with the buzzer about to go off on the dryer. But he didn't. And, you know, that's a lesson, man. I don't care how big you get. Don't big time people, you know. Respect people. Care about people. Be genuine, you know. Be who you really, really are, you know, and it'll mean a lot to people. And I say that to say this last little story, and I hope this doesn't come across as arrogant or whatever. I don't think it will. But the other night we had a family pull over by the side of the road. We live in a rural area, and there's a lot of farms around us, and there's a lot of poverty in our area. We live in a small county in Georgia. And there's a lot of poverty, a lot of, you know, ignorance, a lot of people who are undereducated, underemployed, underpaid. And, you know, this family rolls to a stop right outside our door. And they're literally broke. I mean, they have no money. And it was a lady. I guess it was her husband or boyfriend or whatever he was. But he seemed to be, I don't know. It's hard to talk. He seemed to be mentally challenged or something. There was something just a little off about the way he talked, way he carried himself. And they had a boy with them, a young teenage guy who was a kind of a chunky, bigger guy, with a kind of a, you know, that 15-year-old mustache deal going on, you know, and kind of oily hair. And you could tell that they didn't have much at all. I mean, they just didn't, you know, they were just people, you know, and they were down on their luck, and you could tell that maybe they'd never been up on their luck, you know. They had this old beater, you know, long gas-guzzling car, and they were out of money, and they ran out of gas. Now, you know, I mean, they could have been playing me, I don't know. They could have, you know, had $1 million in the trunk, for all I know, but I don't really think so. I think they were, you know, broke, so they knock on the back door. I mean, it's late for us. I mean, we go to bed early. We're like old people, you know. We roll into bed at 9, you know. So it's like, I don't know, American Idol was on. So it's like, I don't know, we had T-voted or whatever. So it's like 9:45. We're watching it, you know. And we bang, 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 you know, on the front door, which we never use because I don't know where you're from. But in the South, you don't go to the front door unless... See, there's kind of a class system from the old South, you know, and a lot of racial stuff that goes with that. But, you know, friends don't use the, I'm not trying to say the South is this horribly, I don't know. What I'm saying is different people knew which door to use. And if you were friends, you went to the side door. And if you were, calling on somebody, you went to the front door. And unfortunately, way back in the South, if you were a slave or you were a servant or a hired hand, you went to the very, very back door and you waited and you would never go inside. But I'm getting off track. I just wanted to clarify that. It's not the way it is now, but what's kind of trickled down from that is most of the time, if you're a friend of somebody, you in the South, you go in the side door. You know, you don't go in the formal entrance. You go to the carport or the back door or the backyard or whatever, you know. So anyway, it's very odd to hear someone knock on the front door. Well, you know, kind of spooked us or whatever. Who's this out, you know, where we live? And they had been coming down the highway and they'd run out of gas and coasted to our house. So I had a couple of gallons of gas in an old gas tank and or a gas can that from mowing the grass during the summer, and no cash on me, you know. Payday was Wednesday, and this happened Tuesday, so I didn't really have a lot of cash. We scrounged up, I think, about $10 between my wife and I, and we gave it to him, and the whole conversation that I had with those people, you know, I knew not to big time them. You know, I knew not to act like I was superior and to ask them what they were going to do with the money and where they were going to go and, you know, try to get in their business and belittle them or whatever. I talked to them like I would have wanted to be talked to if I would have been in that situation, you know. And There's not a lot of that in the world, you know. A lot of people, they like the idea of putting you in your place, you know. That they like the idea of making you feel low or bad or whatever, you know. They I don't know, they get off on, I don't know, if you're, you know, they get off on pointing out your flaws or your irresponsibilities or your whatever. And you know, I had just this feeling that these people had been kicked down so many times, you know, and it was really, really cool to be able to help them, even a little bit. And so when we're thinking about all this personal finance stuff, you know, remember, there's three things you can do with money. You can save it, or you can keep it, or you can give it away. And sometimes the greatest thing you do with your money is to let your money, let it go. You know, just let it go. And I didn't have, you know, a lot to help those folks with. I wish I would have had more. I wish there was something I could have done to help them more. But they were so thankful and so grateful and so appreciative. And I don't know, it made me feel good. And I wanted to tell somebody about it. And for some reason, I wanted to do it here, you know. It certainly wasn't that I'm some awesome person at all. It was, though, that I just knew the power of money for those people. You know, I knew that $10 could change their day, you know. It could change their day. and it could go from, you know, miserable to, you know, okay. You know, maybe not to great, but okay. I could move them on down the road, you know. And sometimes I wonder if we all would just chill out a little bit and do that for one another, you know. Just help each other move on down the road instead of being so doggone critical and angry and mean and frustrated and cynical. And, you know, help each other move on down the road. This has been NCN, and I want to thank you for joining me for today's episode of the No Credit Needed podcast. Oh, yeah. I went back and re-listened to the podcast, and I want to add this on to the end. I sounded kind of depressed there at the end. And two things that, to kind of clarify, there are three things you can do with money. You can save it, and you can spend it, or you could give it away. Not save it and keep it and spend and give it away. Why? Because saving it and keeping it are the exact same things. Okay, now that I've cleared out that little piece of ignorance and silliness, I feel kind of weird talking about the $10, and I would love to have helped them even more. Now that I listen to it, I sound like, well, why the world didn't you give the people more than $10? We literally had no money in the house. This was all that we had. And if you knew where we live, there it would have, where they were going and where we live, there was no way to help them out any other way. There's nowhere around here by the time we would have, let me put it this way, by the time we would have gotten anywhere that we could have helped them anymore, they would have already been home. They were only going like 30 miles, and they were going to town to get some gas, and then they were going to leave. And if we would have gone to town with them, there's no amount of money more that they would have needed to get to where they were going. I don't know if I made that clear. We would have certainly helped them more if we could have, but what we gave them what they needed, and it was all we had in the house. So please don't think from the podcast that I think $10 is this huge amount of money. It was just to those people, you know, and I've been there, dude. I have been there, man, where $10 was a lot of money. I mean, I'm still there today. I mean, I still think $10 is a lot of money. But I know that it's not a lot in the grand scheme of things, but to those folks, they needed it. I hope I don't come off sounding too sappy in this one, but I thought I'd share just a little bit of, you know, something else, something a little different, something a little new today. Thanks for joining me.